WRKEY today.
Are considering banning texting while you drive. Isn't that a no-brainer? Yay or nay, my friends across America. Hey, someone tried to convince me earlier in the day it was too big brotherish. Have you tried to sell a house lately? Existing home sales way down in December. I have the ugly numbers. And stimulus for the middle class. That's what Obama and his pal Joe Biden were talking about earlier in the day. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, as we set forth on this journey for the next 4 hours here on these airwaves across the land, long and far and everywhere in between. Remember, you can always throw in your two cents, whether it's on banning texting while driving. I mean, you do have to stretch your imagination. I think you have to say you got to ban texting. As much as I'm all about small government and not interfering and not too many ridiculous laws, there are too many people getting hurt out there, too many distractions for drivers who are already horrible. So I'm going to say ban texting. Who can drive and look down at the same time? Not me. So you can throw in your two cents on that or any of the things that we will peruse here in this first hour on ATN, 800-259-5791. When you hear that you're going to get a break if you're in the so-called middle class. Is there such a place anymore? Is there a middle class? Well, the president knows that America is obviously upset over what's going on with overtaxation and the possibility of paying more taxes and health care reform and everything that's been discussed backwards and forwards with health care reform and how that'll affect you. I mean, really, it is the conversation. It always comes back to the do, re, mi for everybody. It doesn't matter how much you got. It's always how much does the government want to take from you. So whenever an elected official can get up there and tell you how you're going to save some money, this country is going to help you get back on your feet or any numerous possible pieces of a jigsaw puzzle relating to your wallet. Usually politicians think this is a good time to seize the moment when you've got a plan. This time the president took the vice president with him for a little help from a brother, and here's how it went down.
And the president and you and I have long believed that you can't have a strong America without a growing middle class. It's that simple. It's that basic. And right now, the middle class is nowhere near as strong as it needs to be. So next month, the middle class task force is going to deliver its final report, not final, its year-end report to the president. And this afternoon, we're spotlighting some of the items in that report that the president is going to be including in the upcoming budget.
Joe and I are going to keep on fighting for what matters to middle-class families. An education that gives our kids a chance in life, new clean energy economy that generates the good jobs of the future, meaningful financial reforms that protect consumers, and health reform that prohibits the worst practices of the insurance industry and restores some stability and peace of mind for middle-class families. Because in the end, that's how Joe and I measure progress. Not by how the markets are doing, but by how the American people are doing.
It's interesting. If you caught the one little nugget in that moment there, he talked about cleaning a clean energy economy. What's interesting there is a Pew poll just comes out today saying that Americans really aren't concerned about global warming. In fact, it's last on the list. But the push is go green means more money for you, means a better economy. But are you buying that equation? We'll get into that a little bit later. However, in fact, coming up next on the show, we're going to talk to a man whose company, an entrepreneur whose company, is all about trying to recycle CO2. Yeah. So what's that all about, and what could that possibly do, and how could that affect your life? Well, it could affect your life if there was an effective way to do it. and press it back into our hands, so to speak. But we'll get into that in just a few here. In the meantime, back to the president. The president is proposing, by the way, a three-year freeze in discretionary non-security spending. This is part of the budget he's going to unveil a week from now. This is all starting to sort of circulate. And part of this proposal during the State of the Union, he's going to describe it as saving $250 billion over 10 years. $250 billion over 10 years, okay? This is a numbers thing. And that means it would be relative, basically, to what spending is on those programs that otherwise would have been. That sounds confusing, doesn't it? So the goal is to keep the budget from the affected agencies at or below, here's another number, $447 billion that was spent on them this past year. And that's the freeze. What a challenge that'll be, right? So moving forward, talking about the budget, which is 2011, and that's the transition and transitioning the focus, trying to get every dollar from the federal that the federal government has. This is what Obama is proposing. The spending freeze is going to be like a bull in a china shop, because the support among other Democrats, many of those who view limitations as pretty risky politics and certainly policy when there's this deep, deep economic recession, unless you talk to this Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner, who thinks it's all sunshine, then he's going to have some foes. He's going to have some foes on this for sure. The House, basically, will have a larger role than the president in assuring that some kind of a spending freeze is even implemented. And they rejected the proposal after it was initially kind of floated out there. One of the key strategists said that the president was taking a page out of a GOP playbook for the purpose of placating Republican critics. And see, this is the problem. I think it's, at this point, a lot of Democrats are saying, how can we stand by our man when he's not giving us what he originally promised? So now the backpedaling begins, as it often does in politics, whether it's a Republican or whether it's a Democrat, but particularly what we're seeing right now in this moment with this administration. Good luck trying to freeze all that. I mean, there is they do have a point here for being worried, because it is very risky, very risky. Spending limits means the EPA, the Commerce Department, Health and Human Services, the Department of the Interior, you go all the way down the list, and they may need extra float money. And the president's saying, hey, if more money is needed at one agency, it can go there, but only at the expense of another. So they're saying it's not a blunt across-the-board freeze, but some agencies will go up, others will go down. That means, to me, they call it a riff. They might be having a riff in some of those governmental jobs, meaning layoffs. There might be some layoffs in, I don't know, pick an agency, perhaps the IRS. It'll be interesting to see how this is actually pushed forward. If they're doing this in 2011, then that would have to carry over, I would think, to the next budget, 2012. And how much money are you going to save in this? They've already been alerted, these agencies, to plan for a freeze or even a 5% cut in their budgets. If you're going to the DMV, make sure you take War and Peace with you, because they may only have two people working there to pop out all those driver's licenses, whether you just need to renew or you have to go there and take a test or for whatever reason. It could be a very long wait. I'm just saying. Stay with us. Much more to come here on ATN.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, January 25th, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $10.99.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $11.29.63, $5.64.83 for a half ounce, or $2.82.41 for the quarter ounce. That's $11.29.63, $5.64.83, or $2.82.41.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
In 1965, this was a sound. Commission's done. One more time.
Hey, coming up on America Tonight in our Week in Count segment, guys, get ready for this. Conan O'Brien, he just hit the cover off the ball on his last show. Wow, the ratings, incredible. So we're going to talk about that. As always, Kate, swinging with you, and we are swinging for the fences. So pleased to welcome our next guest to the show. Fascinating stuff that his company's doing. CEO of Carbon Sciences, Inc., Byron Elton, joins us now, and they're talking about CO2 recycling. Imagine. Hey, Byron, how are you?
Good morning. Doing just fine. How are you?
Thanks for joining us so late. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Let's talk about what your company does, because I guarantee what I just said probably caught some ears out there, and they're wondering, okay, how does this work? Now, you do have something posted on YouTube, and it's excellent, and it explains it better than I've heard anyone try to explain it and break it down. But if you would you explain to the audience what it is that your company's doing?
Sure. Well, Carbon Sciences is a Santa Barbara, California-based company, and we are developing a technology that, as you mentioned, essentially recycles carbon dioxide into liquid portable fuels. It's a renewable and sustainable fuel technology that's getting a lot of attention, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and you know, and there are other ways to do that, but if you can recycle it, can you, I mean, just about, obviously, you know that's why you've got the company, but how available would this be? I mean, this could be amazing across the country if we could do this, pump this out there. What a great thing moving into the future, right?
Absolutely. You know, the world faces some significant challenges both in the areas of energy and in climate, and the two are inextricably linked together. From an energy standpoint, the question that we all have to ask is, how are we going to continue to obtain the kinds of energy that we need to maintain our lifestyle and to move the world forward? You know, the world moves on energy.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, is there a way of doing that without destroying the environment, that we can be good stewards? And we believe with our technology the answer to both of those is yes. And these are important questions because the amount of energy needed is absolutely massive. You know, there's the demand for energy worldwide is the highest that it's ever been in the world. And with what's going on in China and Brazil and India and some of these emerging countries, the demand is estimated to go up by 50% over today in just 20 years. So the current system of getting fuel, particularly liquid portable fuels, the fuel that we use in our cars and boats and trains and airplanes, is the fuel that we need. You know, with all the wonderful work that's going on in solar and wind and whatnot, it can replace a lot of electricity, but you can't fly airplanes, for instance, on electricity. And so we need the kind of fuel that the current infrastructure uses. So our technology looks at the issue of extraordinary amounts of CO2 available to us that currently are just going up into the air and causing all kinds of problems. The solution that most people talk about in terms of what do you do about that is to what they call CCS. So that's carbon capture and sequestration, which is grab the carbon dioxide at its source, compress it, and then hide it in the ground somewhere. We, along with a lot of other people, think that there are tremendous challenges and problems with that. And so our approach is more novel and we think ultimately more compelling, and that is take that carbon dioxide, a heretofore wasted resource, recycle it back through our biocatalytic process and turn it back into the fuels that we use.
Wow. So, and then you look at this and it would mean basically what catalysts and I guess enzymes, as it's been explained to me, would reduce that overall threshold for the reaction to take place and then improve the speed when you're talking about where does the energy come from to actually drive the process. Am I right? So it's the reaction kinetics, basically,
yes,
engineering-wise?
Yeah, it's an enzymatic. It's a biocatalytic process. So these biocatalysts are actually enzymes. That's just another word for them. And in many ways, it's it mimics the natural process. And essentially, it's the same way that fuel is produced in nature over millions of years. It starts with CO2, which are absorbed by plants and then buried and turned into petroleum, which we dig up and refine and transport and use. In our case, these are the enzymes that are very specifically designed to stitch together carbon and hydrogen molecules, the carbon coming from the carbon dioxide, hydrogen coming from water, to create hydrocarbons, which are the building blocks for fuel. So we do it much more efficiently than nature and much quicker. But the real benefit of it, it's a very direct path from CO2 to fuel. All fuel starts with CO2 in one way or another. A lot of circuitous routes to get there. Biofuels are doing it through algae and other kinds of switchgrass and whatnot. In our case, it's directly from CO2 to fuel. You mentioned energy output, and that's a really important question to ask anybody who's looking to produce renewable fuel, and that is the juice worth the squeeze, right? In other words, are you using more energy to make the energy than you are getting out of it? In our case, it takes case because it's a biocatalytic environment. It actually takes place in a very mild environment, essentially room temperature, atmospheric pressure, and so the carbon footprint is quite low. And of course, the fuel that we're making with this process is the fuel we're using. So it's the same gasoline that's going into your car, same gasoline that's going into an airplane. No need for additional infrastructure investments in the supply chain or different kinds of engines. And then the last point is just scale. You know, these challenges are so massive. The United States spends $1 billion a day on energy, most of it in liquid portable fuels, and unfortunately a tremendous transfer of wealth to people who don't necessarily have our best interests at heart. And so if you're going to really take a whack at solving this problem, you have to be able to make an extraordinary amount of fuel. And in our case, the scaling opportunities are quite extraordinary. We can produce significant amounts of fuel because the carbon dioxide is so prevalent and so readily available to us.
When you first started doing this, I'm curious, because we're talking about, like you said, it's so readily available. What did you initially test with? What substance did you use, I guess?
Yeah, great question. So the company was formed essentially to see what could be done, what valuable products could be made from carbon dioxide, instead of just wasting it or hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ultimate goal was always fuel, but there was a couple things that happened to get us there. The first product that the company started making was a calcium carbonate. and then a precipitated calcium carbonate, which is a fine white powder actually used in building products and some food products and whatnot. Nice little business, but certainly not fuel, which is the large energy is the largest largest market in the world, bigger than food.
That's right.
And so we were very fortunate to join us Dr. Naveed Aslam. Dr. Aslam is our current chief technology officer. He's the inventor of the technology, and he's the one that invented this very, very novel way of using this biocatalytic reaction to produce fuel. Now, it's been done before. You know, there are people. This is not. This is applied science. It's not new science.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge that everybody always had was it being able to do it at a cost that would be commercially viable. And the two issues are these enzymes are not inexpensive. Now, they're really good at what they do, but they don't last very long. And so they'll go in and they'll do a number of missions, and then they die, or they're exhausted or depleted. And so you have to continue to replace them all the time. The resulting gallon of gasoline is very, very, very expensive. And the other is just the kinetics, the reaction time. How long does it take to do it? Because the longer it takes, obviously, the more expensive it becomes, and the fewer number of missions that these biocatalysts can perform, the cost goes way up. And so the real breakthrough for us was, and we've applied for a patent on this, is what we call our smart particle technology, or it's a nanoscale reactor. It's actually a physical housing. It's an encapsulation where these enzymes live, and it allows them to continue to efficiently perform mission over mission and over mission without dying out. And so that was the real breakthrough that allowed us to see the path to being able to commercially develop a renewable and sustainable fuel technology that's really going to make a difference and be successful.
We only have a minute left, and so I just want to ask this quick question because this is what everyone's going to wonder. You talked about the patent. When are you hoping that this would be readily available? When is this package going to be ready to roll?
Well, great question. And, the science is the law of the harvest. There are no shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've been able to accomplish so far has been very, very promising. We've done it on a lab scale. We have a prototype. We're making small amounts of fuel. The real question is taking it to scale and scaling it up. We believe that within the next year, we will be announcing and have a strategic partner for a full-scale pilot plant who will be initiating and using this technology on a very, very large scale, probably co-located. Well, it will be co-located at a large emission site, coal-fired plant, a cement factory, a steel plant, whatever it may be. But we believe within a year we'll be there. Certainly have made the announcement.
Excellent. Well, we'll be anxious to see what happens there. It's fascinating stuff. Byron Elton, CEO of Carbon Sciences, Inc., thanks so much for spending time with us on America Tonight, and we'll be looking for you in the future.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's interesting talking about alternatives. And imagine on the grand scale if this were to be super successful. And there are others who are trying to do a similar thing. At Sandia Laboratory, they're trying to develop something similar with CO2 and sunlight, but they're having problems in converting this on the grand scale, as Byron was saying, with his own company. Stay with us. More on the flip side.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Hi, neighbor. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Certainly, we'd never intend to procrastinate getting our own food supply until there was none left at any price. We would intend to have plenty of food so the relief organizations could care for those unable to care for themselves. We would intend not to be standing in the bread line with the ignorant and the foolish who pretend the facts of food disappearance are untrue. If the experience of the Katrina disaster is evidence, the bread line may have no bread. Just like the good intentions on the road to that unheavenly place, the good intentions alone to get a supply of food will not feed us. Only getting our food supply immediately will make us independent and fearless for the future. Call 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Who am I? Someone who cares.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
America tonight, we're going to go back in history. January 26th, what happened way back when? And there are some pretty good ones going all the way back to Ben Franklin's time when he actually wrote his daughter to tell her he was unhappy that the bald eagle had been chosen as the national bird of the United States. Everybody knows this, right? He thought the turkey would have been much more respectable. So in a few days, Ben got a letter from his daughter saying, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. When he opened it, he was excited thinking that he was going to learn that she had persuaded some others that the turkey was the right way to go. And she just said, dear dad, sorry about the eagle thing. Go fly a kite. He did. And the rest is history. Well, the turkey part is true. I think the rest was made up. So that happened back in 1784 on January 26th. Where does the time go? We're almost through the month of January. We'll jump to that. News you can abuse and birthdays as well, but that's coming up in our next segment. In the meantime, a couple of other things to get to as we re-rack what's been going on around the planet and closer to home right here in the good old USA. The U.S. Census Bureau 2010, the population count officially kicked off in a remote Eskimo village in Alaska. There are a lot of people who are saying that they don't want to fill out the census form. They don't want to be part of it. They don't want to be counted. And there's a big concern that the count's going to be way off due to the reaction that's already verbally out there. and people have actually even written to say, I don't want to be part of the census. And then there's others who have no idea what the census is all about. It's important for the representation in your area. So actually, you got to think of it this way. Whatever information you have to share, most likely, trust me, they already know that information. They already know it. A couple of other things. We were talking about this on our last show, too. Sadly, when any time an airline goes down, but the Ethiopian airline plane that carried 90 people caught fire is what specifically happened, and it crashed shortly after it took off from Beirut. They recovered 34 bodies so far from the crash site. It's a tough crash site because it's in the Mediterranean Sea. They're still looking at the cause of the crash, and that's the normal thing. They're not going to come up with anything right away. Even if they suspect certain things, they won't release that information. The Lebanese president said terrorism wasn't suspected, and the Boeing 737 was serviced not too long ago. December 25th was the last inspection day, and it passed inspection, so they're really not quite sure what happened, but they're investigating the cause of that. Haiti on the minds of so many. A lot of money has been raised for the people of Haiti. AIDS groups are still trying to find enough tents and even the sites to put them up, because that's part of the problem, moving them from Port-au-Prince. So all those earthquake survivors are streaming out of that city. But the government wants the 600,000 or so, could be actually more, homeless, to leave the capital, all those open areas, and seek shelter someplace else. The International Organization for Migration, that's what it's called, says its warehouse has about 10,000 tents. I mentioned that previously. But they need 100,000, so they're really asking for tents. They've had these aftershocks to contend with, and that sent people panicked into the streets after the 7.0 and the deaths and whatnot. So the idea is to get as many tents as possible to the outlying areas and set all these homeless people up so they have a place to go and the city can be cleared and all that sort of stuff, which makes complete sense. If you're a fan of the soap opera All My Children, that soap opera has been on for a very long time. And there was a character named Palmer Courtland. He was a bad guy on the soap opera. And the guy who played Palmer Courtland, James Mitchell, was on that show for about 3 decades, I guess. He died just a couple of days ago. The cause of the death not released. He was 89 years old. He was in 300 episodes of the daytime drama and was a regular until 2008, and he was a Broadway guy and did a whole bunch of stuff before that, but that's a pretty notable career to be somewhere, one place, any career for 30-some years is a pretty good deal, but especially when it comes to acting of any sort, because people only see the famous people, and you hear like Julia Roberts, $20 million a picture, or whoever the hot young stars are, guys and girls. But what people don't realize is the unemployment rate for actors is ridiculously high. It's something like 87% or something. They're just trying to get anything, trying to get an extra part, whatever. I always say you never meet so many would-be actors pumping gas any place other than in California. I lived in California for a brief time. I'm not kidding you, every other person I met was writing a screenplay, wanted to be an actor, wanted to be an actress, had the possibility of getting a role in a play. They were going for an audition. It was crazy. I mean, from the waitress to the postman to when they still had the full-service gas stations. And I guess they still do in some places, but the guy who pumped the gas, it's nutty. Some other things that are interesting besides the Census Bureau kicking off, this is a story that we've talked about a bunch, and I think it's well overdue. The U.S. military has agreed to rush through a review of records of thousands of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. What happened was they came up with an agreement, and this all stems from a judge's order in a class action lawsuit originally filed by seven combat vets who allege that the military illegally denied their benefits. Isn't that awful? Legal notices are being mailed out to about 4,300 vets, inviting them to opt into the lawsuit and participate in the review, which I think is a good thing, because this is a situation where they come back and that the post-traumatic stress disorder is off the charts for these two war efforts in the two places I mentioned, Iraq and Afghanistan. And how awful that they have to go to the wall, go to the mat, just to get their benefits. I still, in some cases, do not understand the way we treat our veterans, and especially in the current situation versus previous. Although, if you go to a veterans hospital, I mean, you see some sad situations. You see people where it just looks like neglect, and I know it varies from place to place because there are some vet hospitals that do an incredible job. And since the story broke a couple of years ago about Walter Reed, there's more of an eye on what's happening at the veterans places, which I think is tremendous. And I know in the private sector that they've tried to come up with their own places. There's a place in San Antonio where vets who come back, it's state-of-the-art, it's unbelievable. Vets that come back and they have injuries or they're amputees, they can rehab there, and I think it's one of the nicest hospital / rehab places that I've ever walked into in my entire life, and it's so inspiring to see what the kind of work the doctors are doing there. I wish more people from the private sector that had the big chunk of money would get together and set up a couple of those across the country. So you use those places along with the veterans hospitals. And it'd be, I think, a much rosier picture for some of these guys that come back with dealing with unbelievable, ragged, jagged nerves from what they've gone through, especially the frontline infantry men who day in and day out have no clue what they're going to encounter. I mean, they have intelligence and they have the information in front of them, but they still don't know, especially with our rules of engagement. You want to see a good movie, and Matt and I have both seen this and talked about it on the air before. Go rent, The Hurt Locker. It's incredible. And that, I think that gives you a realistic view of what's going on in Afghanistan and what Iraq was like with the roadside bombs and the people and trying to, getting to know the kids and having her heart broken again and again and again. Also, there's this one final story that I happened to come across. It has nothing to do with the military or any of the stuff that I just talked about, but I thought I would throw it out there. There's this large piece of the pie, the real estate pie, in New York City. The owners of these two massive apartment complexes that sold, and we talked about it, for $5.4 billion a few years ago, are turning the properties over to their creditors. The joint venture ownership team was led by Tishman Speyer Properties and BlackRock Realty. They were unable to make a multi-million dollar loan payment earlier this month due to the collapse of the real estate market, and the 110 buildings overlook the East River, and it houses about 25,000 tenants now. Oof, $5.4 billion. See, even the rich are getting jammed up on what's happening with real estate. How'd you like to be those tenants? And in New York City, it is the toughest place to, whether it's buying or renting, it is the toughest place what you have to go through on these applications. For co-ops, even a lot of them have co-ops and these boards that decide whether or not you get in. That's when you want to move to Jersey. And New York looks good from the distance, but I think we'll just go in on the weekend versus trying to live on that tiny piece of an island. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're also going to show you one of the biggest musical blunders to date that has to do with a foreign awards show, plus birthdays, news you can abuse, and more of this day in history. Hang with us.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
All right, picture this if you will. I'm going to set the scene for you. Fergie and the Black Eyed Peas are announced as a winner of a music award in a French-speaking area. I say it's French-speaking because we're going to have to interpret for you what the announcer said. But it was a big award, apparently, in the music industry. Not the Grammys, but kind of a step below the Grammys. So it's that situation where somebody opens the envelope and they accidentally say the wrong group or the wrong person has won the award. Wouldn't that be like the worst? I was thinking of the big award show, like the Academy Awards and the motion picture of the year, and you say the person says the wrong one, they couldn't see right or something's goofed up with the envelope. Boy, that'd be disastrous. That'd be ugly. And not that I'm big on award shows. I only see bits and pieces of them, but I happened to see this on a website, actually, and I thought it was the funniest thing because I've never actually seen that happen to anyone, but I wondered if it ever had, if you just, you know, kind of tripped over your tongue or somebody looked at the name wrong, or like I said, there was an accident, a mix-up somehow with the envelopes. And here's how it went down with the MC, the guy who was actually supposed to hand out an award, and then listen to the crowd's reaction.
Donc voilà. Merci pour eux, et désolé. On peut applaudir Kamel, s'il vous plaît. Ça arrive. Donc là, mais vous avez raison, mais j'assure, ils auraient pu faire plus simple, ils auraient pu mettre juste le nom de l'artiste qui gagnait. Bon voilà. Et dans l'émotion, parce que c'est pas facile de le faire,
j'ai dit le premier nom que je voyais.
Tu sais quoi, Kamel?
We're sorry, we made a mistake.
Tout le monde t'aime. On l'aime, Kamel.
Yeah. Hold on.
Et bon show, bon spectacle. Et bravo pour
That's exactly what they're saying over and over again. Because the crowd kind of revolted on them and they thought it was the Black Eyed Peas. Matt, can you imagine that happening like on the Grammys here? Of course, we had the weird deal with the interruption with Kanye West
telling everyone who actually won the award.
Yeah, which was really, when you go back and you look at that little piece of tape, that is the worst thing ever. It's just kind of stunning how he gets up and does that and says Beyonce's was the terrific video, whatever. But can you imagine if you were at the Grammys and they gave the wrong award out or the Academy Awards? That'd be awkward.
That would definitely be awkward. And as you were talking about it, I thought of the only thing worse than that would probably be, and I guess these people are rich so they wouldn't care, but just for the normal folk like you and I, if you thought you had won the lottery somehow, and then, you know, you go through your whole thing of thinking you won it, you probably quit your job, tell a couple of people at work you don't like that they can, you know, go screw themselves, something like that. And then you tell everyone off, you think you're rolling in the dough, and then you got to eat crow, you know, whenever you find out that you didn't actually win the Mega Millions or the Powerball or whatever it is. That would be awful.
Yeah, that'd be pretty humiliating to try to come back and save face after you do that. And it could happen. It has happened to people. It happened to somebody recently with a jackpot. A machine was rigged up or something. It wasn't the person didn't rig it up, but somebody rigged up a machine, and they really didn't get the jackpot they thought they got. I thought the casino should have given them the money. Too bad. So sad. They thought they got it. It went off. It's not their fault. It's yours.
I'm sure there was a lawsuit after that.
I would file a lawsuit. Because it's like the biggest tease ever. You've just won $2 million. Oops, just kidding. It's really only $5 because somebody messed with the machine, and we know it's not you because it's somebody that works with us. But I mean, give me a break. Yeah, that would be upsetting. That's one of those moments in life where you go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows.
Yeah, and you go from thinking you have it all to you've got nothing and you've got to rebuild.
Exactly. Somehow I have to crawl away for a few days. Okay, speaking of days, if we look at the calendar, I'm just going to jump to that before we go to News You Can Abuse. It is January 26, 2010, as I mentioned before. On this day back in 84, CBS TV was brave enough to bring back the Wise Cracking Hammer. Remember Mickey Spillane's violent novels? They said were violent. I didn't think they were very violent, but they said they were violent on TV. I thought it was pretty good, actually. I've seen the repeats of that. Stacy Keach was the hammer, if you've ever seen and you know what I'm talking about. I actually like the Mike Hammer character. I like that whole series. Remember the first was I, the Jury. I've gone back and watched the classics. That was like in the 50s, I think. And then Mike Hammer pops up on TV. I actually didn't know this, but the detective was first played by Darren McGavin and then went on to eventually lead into Stacy Keach. And they thought it was too violent, too much blood, violence, and sex. I don't know. I didn't think it was that violent, to be honest with you. All right, a couple of other things that happened. In 1913, Jim Thorpe wrote to the chairman of the Amateur Athletic Union and revealed that he had played professional baseball in 1909 and 1910. He returned the two gold medals, the decathlon and the pentathlon, that he had won in the 1912 Olympic Games in Stockholm, Sweden. 60 years later, 20 years after his death, the AAU restored Thorpe's amateur standing and the Olympic honors. In 1945, Dan Topping and Del Webb actually bought the Yankees baseball team for $2,800,000. They installed Larry McPhail as the president, giving him a third of the club and a 10-year contract to run it. That paid off. 1947, the greatest story ever told was first heard on ABC Radio. It was the first radio series to portray the voice of Jesus. if anybody was around for that. 1960, Pete Rozelle was elected commissioner of the NFL. He was there for a long time, 25 years. And one more for you. In 1979, the Gizmo guitar synthesizer was first demonstrated. Someone rocked out for about four states and gave demonstrations to people. The guitar synthesizer. And now you hear it sometimes too much in music. All right, time for a quickie news you can abuse. Pond scum could be powering our future. That's what entrepreneur Brad Bartleson is hoping. His company, Photon 8, has moved from New Jersey to South Texas. He says Texas has more sunlight than Jersey, which is essential to turning pond scum into biodiesel fuel. He says that Texas not only has lots of sunlight, but cheap land for algae farms. He told a local newspaper that he could probably be a leader in the algae-based fuels. Everybody's trying to come up with something to power cars, right? I mean, earlier you just heard we had the conversation talking about taking the CO2 and recycling it. Don Gould has gone from what he calls a big shot to a bag boy. He used to make a six-figure salary as the manager of a small design company. Today he pulls in $8.25 an hour bagging groceries in a public supermarket in Florida. While Gould has been downsized, he's not down and out. He told the St. Petersburg Times that he wants to be a good role model for his teenage sons. He says he's showing them that no job is undignified. What I tell you, underemployed, that's what's happening everywhere. Good for him that he's taking whatever he can get, in a way. All right, it's time for birthdays. Can we have some birthday music, please?
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, who's celebrating a birthday that you might know? Oh, sadly, this would have been Paul Newman's birthday. Paul Newman died back in 2008. I love some of the old Paul Newman movies. This is a chance for me to go off on Paul Newman. The Color of Money, awesome. How about Cool Hand Luke? We're digging way back now. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Verdict. Anything he did, actually, I felt was pretty good. All right, also celebrating a birthday, Angela Davis, born in 1944, civil rights activist and teacher. How about Eddie Van Halen? I was just talking about the synthesizer. 1955 is when Eddie Van Halen was born, a Grammy Award-winning musician, guitar singer, some say the best axeman around. He owns his own recording studio. Anita Baker, born in 1958. Sweet Love, Rhythm of Love, ring a bell with anyone? Ellen DeGeneres, famous talk show host now, 1958. She was born. The Ellen DeGeneres Show started in 2005. She's won several Emmys. And the great Wayne Gretzky, rather, born in 1961, Hockey Hall of Famer. You're celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday to you from all of us at America Tonight. Great job on the technicals, Matt Johnson.
The amazing upper body strength of the Russians. So amazing. They're nothing. Just a minute.
No,
they're
sorry.
Nothing.
Tournament in Calgary.
USA. 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 USA.